The Bible says this, says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Give me grace tonight. Be merciful to me. And Lord, let your word not return void. You promised us that, Lord. Open hearts and minds and give me unction to preach and sound doctrine as I preach, Lord. We'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. He said, folks cover themselves with a covering, but it's not with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, Brother Mike Stroh, my Jewish buddy, before he got saved, he was a Hasidic Jew studying to be a rabbi. He claims that there's, in his thoughts, Adam and Eve had an aura about them. When they were clothed with God's righteousness and that spirit, there's a spiritual covering that God had that covered Adam and Eve. And when they lost that, they saw their nakedness. It exposed their nakedness to him. I don't know. He might be right on that. Usually those things he tells me, I take with a grain of salt until I can prove it, or disprove it. I can't disprove that thing. But we know through Scripture that it talks about a king having a wedding. And to get in, you got to have a wedding garment. Yeah, the king sends the servants out to gather all those for the wedding. And they said, well, who's getting married? Well, the king. The king's son's getting married. And said, well, what's it cost to get in? Well, it don't cost anything. But you got to have a wedding garment to get in. And the sense is that without the righteousness of Jesus Christ, without being clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you're not going to get in. And you get that righteousness of Christ with the new birth. And here it refers to it as a covering. Other places it talks about the garment. And you can tell a lot about a person by what they wear. There's a verse of Scripture that says, well, you shouldn't judge somebody by what they wear. Well, yeah, yes and no. There's a verse that talks about a woman that showed up and said she had the attire of a harlot. Duh. So, yeah, you can tell somewhat about somebody by what they wear. And maybe what they wear, maybe you're being deceived by what they wear. So you just watch out for those things. But I don't want to talk about the physical clothing, and I want to concern the garments that we adorn ourselves with when we face our Lord. Now, will we be clothed? Will you be clothed with your own righteousness? You see, the great difference in the church today, the denominational differences, is the majority are still trying to work their way to heaven. They're still trying to earn their way to heaven with works. And in this age, it don't happen that way. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now that works salvation, isn't that what that's what Cain got involved with? Cain thought that if he worked hard enough and he presented all of his works before the Lord, that God would be impressed and that it would be acceptable, that he would find favor from God through his works. See, the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So Cain brought all of his fruits and vegetables before the Lord. Born Again does that song, Gary Duty song, You Can't Get Blood from a Turnip. And the Bible says that God does not accept Cain's sacrifice. But man, he had worked as hard as he knew to work. He was wrapped up in hard work and good intentions, or he thought so. And a lot of the world today, most of the religious world, regardless of denomination, even regardless of a lot of religions. They're all trying to impress God and get to heaven by their good works. And the Bible says, another thing Isaiah said is, we are all an unclean thing. Isaiah 64:6, it says, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Cain was dressed up in all his righteousness, and he found that he had nowhere, all dressed up and nowhere to go. In verse 5, there about Cain, it says, but Cain and to his offering he had not respect. God didn't honor Cain's offering. And Cain, what did Cain do about it? Said he got mad. Said, and Cain was very wroth. He got upset about it, and his countenance fell. Have you ever noticed, and I've dealt with this a lot, and I don't argue with people about Scripture. I just, chapter and verse. That's all I know, chapter and verse. What do you do with this verse? What do you do with that verse? But if you start bringing up this subject of work salvation and by grace through faith, people get mad at you. People get upset with you. They'll get upset with you over eternal security. They'll get upset with you. Cain, when God didn't respect all his hard work and good intentions, Cain got wroth. So it appears Cain had a heart problem to begin with. Cain was trying to impress God, while Abel simply tried to please God. Abel brought the little lamb. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Bildad, the Shuhite, said to Job, said, how then can a man be justified with God, or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? See, Cain didn't understand that he was unclean. Cain didn't realize that his own righteousness was not on a level, not on the same par with the righteousness of God. Cain believed that God should have respected his works. When his works weren't accepted, Cain got mad about it. And you'll see people getting mad if you try to convince them that it's Jesus Christ that gets them to heaven, plus nothing, minus nothing. And that's still hard to say without thinking about it. Because a natural man always has it in his head that he needs to help God out. Oh, it can't be that easy. I've got to do my part. Remember the verse I use a lot, John 6:28? Disciple, Master, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Tell me what I need to do, Lord. Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. That's a double-edged sword. That's the work of God. And that's all you do to work the works of God, is to believe it. And God tried to emphasize the same thing over in Romans 4. He says in Romans 4 and verse 1, and he's talking about Abraham over here. And he says in Romans 4, verse 1, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Okay, think about that verse a minute. Everybody looked up to Abraham before men. Abraham was, man, he is a fine fella. And folks looked up to him. He was a wonderful, fine fella, and he had a good testimony before man. But when it came to him and God one on one, that's where the glory stopped. You can be a good singer. You can sing like a bird. And men will lift you up because of that, and they'll think highly of you. But when you get in front of God, you watch your P's and Q's, because God is the one that gave you that voice. You can't glory before God on those things that men are impressed with. In fact, the Bible says that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination to God. You got to look out on what you esteem in this life and what you don't esteem. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God. All right, here it is. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's why he's referred to as the father of faith, or the father of all that believe. Some refer to Abraham in that way. Then it says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. I tell folks when I go through the plan of salvation with them, over there in Romans 6:23, where it says, for the wages of sin is death, in the last half of that verse says, but, that word of contrast, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Gift of God. A gift is a gift or it's not a gift. You don't earn a gift. And I'll use this illustration. I say, if I say, Joe, I'll give you $10 if you'll go wash my truck. That's a pretty good deal. I'll give you $10 if you go wash my truck. I said, now, will you wash my truck, I'll give you $10. That's not a gift, is it? No, you earned it. But if I say, hey, Joe, you're pretty cool. Here's $10. Here, Joe. Well, yes. That's a gift. That's what we need to learn about our salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, if you could earn it, you'd have something to brag about. Man, I got it coming to me. What's the old bluegrass song? I think Paul Williams did. It's a scripturally wrong. I love Paul Williams, but that song says, if anybody goes to heaven, surely I will. Surely I will. That's a guy that thinks, man, he deserves it. No, you don't. I don't. You don't either. Christ covers me, covers my sin with his righteousness. I have a covering of the righteousness of Christ. For Christ became the end of the law for righteousness. Don't say he did away with the law. The law is holy and pure. It says he became the end of the law for righteousness. I don't get my righteousness from the law. Neither do you. If righteousness come by the deeds of the law, then Christ is dead in vain. What's the point of Christ dying if you could earn it? That's a basic foundational doctrinal teaching, biblical teaching. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Man, isn't that outrageous? Now, you'll get over there in Hebrews and you'll read passages that are directed to a Hebrew. You're not a Hebrew. Or you'll read passages outside of the doctrinal passage, the church epistles, outside of the Pauline epistles that may contradict this free work of grace, believing in Christ, getting to heaven. When you get folks in the millennium, the church has already been caught up. Folks in the tribulation, church has already been caught up. Those folks have to, the rules change. It talks about those who have the testimony of Jesus Christ and the commandments. It's not two plans of salvation. It's all through the gospel. It's always been through the gospel. It's always been grace. It's always been through the gospel. But the covenant agreements change. God told Abraham, believe God, it was counted to him for righteousness. Moses shows up with the children of Israel, and God gives them 10 commandments. Wow. said, you keep those commandments, I'll give you my righteousness. Christ died on the cross, said, you believe in the death, you embrace the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I'll count it to you for righteousness. You have his righteousness. Now, the Jews still don't get it. Even though they're the seed of Abraham, they still teach justification by works. And you can't have it both ways. It's either grace or it's works. The Arabs don't get it. They make their boast to their father Abraham, yet they still teach justification by works. Many of the churches that claim Christ today still don't get it. Many still teach justification by works. Yeah, Jesus saved me, but boy, I've got to live it, or I've got a problem. No, you don't. You didn't do anything during it to get it. How are you going to keep it on your own? You're a mess. We just read that Abraham wasn't justified by works before God. Cain certainly wasn't justified by works. So the problem is men still believe that they should be justified by works. Sounds like a natural thing. Men have always believed they should earn their place in heaven. Men have always wanted to believe that if they work hard enough, they'll be accepted by God. And they'll usually carry that to the point that only they should get in. Only the works that are acceptable to them will be acceptable to God. And those that don't work don't have a chance. That's the thought. So Moses comes along, God calls a business meeting up on Mount Sinai, and God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. Moses was all fired up, the people were all fired up, they were ready to keep the commandments of God. Man, they were going to do it. Exodus 19:7, and Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people would answer together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. We're going to keep those commandments. Now we've got the commandments, the very oracles of God. We've got them and we're going to keep them. Not like that heathen bunch. Man, they're ready to go to work. They were fired up. Boy, they've got the law now. Ready to keep those commandments. And they finally knew where God stood on those issues, and they were going to keep the law. So they wrapped themselves up in the law of God, and they covered themselves with God's holy law, and they're ready to go. But do you remember how long that they kept that law? Remember Moses, he's up on Mount Sinai, and Moses had just spoken to the Lord. He said, Lord, thank you for giving us your holy law. Now, I just know, Lord, that they're going to serve you now. I just know that crowd, they're going to serve you now. Now they know where the line is drawn. You're really going to be pleased, Lord, with the church now. They're really going to live right, Lord. You remember what happened, verse 7, and the Lord said to Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them, and they have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have broughtest thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. I posted a thing on Facebook that Jeff told me. It actually was Jeff come up with this. The Super Bowl halftime show. Jeff came in that night and said, you know, the only thing missing from that halftime show was the golden calf. That's good. Everybody's been complimenting me on what a wonderful saying. I didn't say I come up. I just posted it. But that's, oh well. But I'm sure that the Jews here, that crowd, they thought that they could live it. They really believed that they could please God by their works. They really found out eventually that they couldn't keep the law. That's when it gets difficult. That's when the guilt trips begin. That's when the mental health clinic started coming about, when people figured out that they couldn't keep it. I remember my wife was a psych nurse for 20 years, and she said that the mental health clinic was filled with people who were very religious. You know what happens to folks? They're taught to believe that they can live it, and when they don't, when they fall into sin, it puts them under a sentence of guilt, a guilt trip so bad that it drives them nuts. They can't handle the fact that they can't live like God wants them to live. Duh. That's where the guilt sets in, because you can't live it, and you thought you could live it. You were told that you could live it. You had God's law. You knew where God stood on this and that, but that old flesh let you down, and now you don't know what to do about it. If you think that you can live it, you'll be in misery most of your life, because when you find out that you can't, that's when your joy leaves you. Now, if you're a Bible believer, you'll put it under the blood and you'll move on. Say, well, preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done. But I know this. In the Old Testament, where they would go down and do those sacrifices, you did a certain sin, you bring two turtle doves or whatever. God instituted with that law the statutes and the ordinances of the sacrifice. There was a blood atonement. In fact, if you remember, there was a blood atonement with Adam and Eve. God had to kill an animal to get skins for a covering for Adam and Eve. There was blood involved in that. There was a sacrifice that had to be made. So, the thing it says about those Old Testament sacrifices said they couldn't clear the guilty. That priest, high priest, would go in once a year, do an annual atonement, the Day of Atonement, and he'd atone for the sins of the people. Said, but there was a remembrance of sin from year to year. People still had a guilty conscience. It says the blood of the bulls and goats could have no way. It didn't clear the guilty, and that's because the sin debt had not been paid. They were covered. God held them blameless, according to Luke chapter 5. Elizabeth and Zacharias, and they kept all the statutes and ordinances blameless before God. They were blameless, but they weren't sinless. And they still had a guilty conscience. But when Christ died, everything changed. It says, for how much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience? Man, that's a wonderful verse. That verse says that you can face the world with a absolutely clear conscience because of Jesus Christ. So, man, that's hard to do. Sure, it's hard to do unless you just believe God and take him at his word and you face the world with a clear conscience because of Christ. Otherwise, when you hold on to that guilt, you're basically saying, well, Lord, what you did on the cross just wasn't quite enough to pay for what I did. You see where you can go with that thing? Sure, what he did on the cross was enough to pay all the stupid, sinful, wicked stuff you did. Psalms 19:5, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Paul tried to explain that. Nothing wrong with the law. We just don't get our righteousness from it. It's pure and it's holy. Paul said in Romans 7:7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. He said, nay, I had not known sin but by the law. I had not known lust except the law said, thou shalt not covet. The psalmist said in Psalms 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. What does it mean by converting the soul? That law is designed to be our schoolmaster. We see where God stands, and we see where we stand in relationship to where God stands, and we repent, and it leads to conversion. The Bible says the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. That's that holiness of God, his law. With the law, God shows us our lost conditions. Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. That's where we stand. We're justified by faith, not by being good, not by being religious or churchy. And don't get me wrong, God loved the church. The Lord loved the church, gave himself for it. But we don't get our righteousness from being religious. We get our righteousness by faith in Christ. Hebrews 7:19, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. That's Jesus Christ, by the which we draw nigh unto God. He was a better hope. Hebrews is about better things, a better covenant, better hope, better sacrifice. Romans 10:4, for Christ is the, here's that verse, for Christ is the end of the law, watch it, for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Cain was dressed up in his own works, and God didn't accept it. The Jews thought they could dress themselves up with the law, and they couldn't. Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. Wow, that kind of clears up any argument from all the above. For the just shall live by faith. All dressed up and nowhere to go. What does they say? Yeah, I shouldn't bring it. Jehovah Witness, they had a funeral for a Jehovah Witness, and there in the casket, and he don't believe in hell. Didn't trust Christ, don't believe Christ was God. So they said, there's a man that's all dressed up and nowhere to go. Just thought I'd throw that in. But the Jews, with the law, they were all dressed up and nowhere to go. So if a man can't be justified by the law, and if a man can't be justified by his works, then what? Romans 3:27, Paul said, where is boasting then? What are you going to brag about now? It is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Galatians 3:21, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Wow, that's kind of complicated. I'll read that again. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law, the inference there is that there wasn't. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Then in Romans 7:7 it says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. I had not known sin, Paul said, except by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law saith thou shalt not covet. So we see here that the law was given to show us that we're a mess, that we're lawbreakers. Remember me telling the story about Mark Cameron? He was the dean of students at Tennessee Temple for a long time. You know, Tennessee Temple started out being a Bible-believing college. I've heard preachers in later years say Lee Robertson started out right, and he kind of let the scholars let it get away from him. And I won't go into that, but Mark Cameron had a seaside mission to the Jews in, I think, Sebring, Florida, somewhere in Florida. Always dealing with a Jew, and the fellow says, well, he asked him, said, do you keep the commandments? Yeah, I keep the commandments. Do you keep the Sabbath? Yeah, I keep the Sabbath. He said, do you work 6 days? See, that's the first half of that commandment. 6 days shalt thou do thy work. Well, I don't know about that. It's what the commandment says. He's already broke the commandment by not working 6 days. And finally the guy said, well, if I keep all the commandments, what am I guilty of? What sin am I guilty of? What am I guilty of if I keep the commandments? Cameron told him, you're guilty of high treason against your king. That's a good answer. Romans 3:20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The Bible says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. That's Romans 2:4. So here we stand before Almighty God. Our works don't impress God. Our failed attempts to keep the law don't please God. So we stand before Almighty God and we ask that same question that was asked of Job. Said, how then can a man, or put to Job, how then can a man be justified with God, or how can a man be clean that is born of a woman? It's a good question. Jesus Christ is the answer to that question. Hebrews 9:22 says, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. I talked about Adam. God dressed him in the skin of animal, a picture of the shed blood of the Lamb of God. Cain and Abel, God didn't have respect to Cain. Didn't have respect to Cain's works. But Cain's little brother, Abel, little brother Abel, and Abel, he also brought the first, Genesis 4:4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Abel brought a little lamb, a picture of the blood of the Lamb of God that was slain on Calvary's cross. Look at Abraham. Remember Abraham about to sacrifice his son, Isaac? Genesis 22, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac. He's ready to sacrifice his son. Isaac spake unto Abraham and said, my father, here am I. Here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Sam Gibbs said that was a prophecy of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. It was a prophecy because it wasn't a lamb that was caught in the thicket. It was a ram, if you remember. But the interesting thing here, Abraham says to Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb. Who's the lamb? God himself. If you got a New Age Bible version, it don't say that. A New Age Bible version will say God will provide for himself a lamb. Better stick to the book, because you lose the prophecy. You lose the fact that God himself is the sacrificial lamb. Boy, I'm about to run out of time. Amen's all over the building. Look through the Levitical law. Sins were purged by the shedding of blood. Sins were covered, but still not paid for. They pictured, those sacrifices pictured the only sacrifice that meant anything to God, and that was like those before them. Hebrews 10:4, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Sins were covered, but weren't paid for until Christ paid the sin debt. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Galatians 2:21, Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for it is, if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Galatians 5:4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Acts 13:39, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. But many today, boy, they will try to dress themselves up in all their goodness. Look at me. After all, we're all working to get to the same place. Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing. Or as many others, we get all dressed up in religion. We think we can keep the law like that crowd. Galatians 3:10, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them. To those who know you, you may look all dressed up, look clean, look good. To the world, you may put on a pretty good show. And it's good that the world respects you and has a high opinion of you. But you better watch your P's and Q's when you stand before God. When you get alone with God, don't act like you're that fellow that folks think you are. You better let God know who you really are, because he knows already. He just wants to know that you know that you know. Does that make sense? You ever been around people that thought they knew and they just don't know that they don't know? Dennis says there are people like that in the building trades. They think they know, but they don't know that they don't know. All right, let me move on. I'm about done. See you later. No, let me finish here. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. That's that church of Sardis. Well, I got all kinds of stuff here. Let me finish this up. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. It's either all of grace or it's not. It's good that a man does right. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. The term that my pastor Jack Grigsby used to use, it says, whatever we do apart from the, does not, however we live, does not complement or add to that free work of grace that Christ did for you on the cross. You earn rewards from it. You're judged as a servant. There's five crowns you can earn as rewards for living godly. And you should. You need to be a testimony. That's what we're here for. We're the light of the world. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it don't get you to heaven. By grace, through faith. I'm done. I'll sing just a verse of a song of invitation. That clock says two after. That says four after. My watch says three after. Anybody got a watch that says five till? I heard a preacher one time at a meeting say, well, will somebody here give me 5 minutes? Just 5 minutes. One guy held up his hand. Another held up his hand. Another one back there. He said, that's 5, 10, 15, 20. All right, Jeff, what are we going to say?